Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. It's level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. Let's step into the octagon in a couple of minutes. Hakeem Dawodu will join us. He's fighting Cub Swanson on Saturday at the Apex. It's going to be a violent fight. Two dudes that want to bang, take each other's heads off. Cub Swanson might be 39 years old, but he's still dangerous. I thought personally that he was kind of done a couple of years ago. And I'm a big Cub Swanson fan. And if you remember, MMA Meltdown, Cub Swanson was one of our, like, kind of, he was a friend of the program. He came on a lot, Cub Swanson. Cool dude, you know what I mean? Dude's been around forever. You know, he was a crazy kid and stuff. And he challenged, you know, he channeled his rage into fighting. And, he turned himself into a great fighter and has had a great career. Yeah, I was like, he's kind of slowing down. He's not the same fighter. He's been in so many wars. That's another thing, too. Guys that have been in wars, right? But he's 2-2 in his last 4 fights. Basically, either gets knocked out or knocks you out. That's like Cub's thing. There used to be these long wars. It would be like, yeah, just bet the over, bro. No one's getting stretched, right? It's going to be a war. It's going to be gone. Now it's like, well, either Cub's going to win fast or he loses fast kind of thing now, which is interesting. Coming into this fight against Hakeem, who's coming off a disappointing performance in his last fight. So, you know, he knows how important this fight is. But I remember thinking that Andre Arlovsky was done like 10 years ago. And so did Joey Odessa. Remember, like, Andre Arlovsky lost, I don't know, man, like 5 out of 7 fights or something in a row, right? In Strikeforce. Remember, it was like he was getting killed in Strikeforce. And it was like, dude, you've had a hell of a career, you've been around forever. You know, just, you don't need to, you're heavyweight. You can't do this forever, bro. And, I don't know, then I think he won like 6 in a row in the UFC years later. All right, some of these guys get a second wind, right? Glover Teixeira is another guy, but Glover was kind of always good all the way through. But, you know what I'm saying? So Cub's like super dangerous still, even though he's 39. As they say, what's the saying, right? The last thing to go is the power. All right, he might have slowed down a little bit, but when you fight the style that he does, speed doesn't really matter all that much. Cub still wants to kind of fights in a phone booth anyways. So, yeah, we've got Hakeem Dawodu who's going to step up and in. We'll hear about him and his preparation for this fight Saturday at the Apex. Of course, that's Luque and Dos Anjos throwing it down. Some other stuff I want to get to. Actually, you know what? We do have more UFC news as well. Got quite a bit of combat sport news, actually, I want to get to. One of which is Dana White said tonight, or earlier in the day, that Conor McGregor will be fighting Michael Chandler. The the late night anchor, Mads Mikras. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the lepers, the hustlers, the people that bust them, the people that throw no-hitters, and everybody else in between. Michael Lorenzen completes the no-hitter tonight for the Philadelphia Phillies in his home debut after getting traded. And it's hard not to think of Eduardo Rodriguez, right? You look at, listen, man, he's a very good pitcher. And the Los Angeles Dodgers had a deal in place for him. And he declined to go to Los Angeles. He had a no-trade clause, and he decided to use it. And not only did he decide to use it and say, well, I don't want to go to L.A., he told them, I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay with the Detroit Tigers. Which, in some ways, you know what, it's old school, and in a lot of ways, you know, it's kind of admirable, isn't it? Right? I mean, the guy doesn't, hey, it's not like he's a Detroit Tiger. He's happy to be a Detroit Tiger and all that other stuff. But, okay, you just also saw one of your teammates who isn't as good as you go to a better team and now throw a no-hitter. How does Lance Lynn look compared as a Dodger, compared as he does to as he did with the Chicago White Sox? So if I'm, you know, you better, like I tell you what, you better love the cooking, the family, or whatever the hell it is you got going on in Detroit, bro. Because it could be you potentially throw no-hitters on a good team. Instead, it's Lorenzen on Philadelphia, who you think this guy's loving life? Going from the Detroit Tigers to the Philadelphia Phillies, having a sold-out stadium, like root for him tonight, throw the no-hitter in front of his family. Awesome stuff. It's what's cool about baseball. And no matter how old I do get, and by the way, I thank people for the birthday wishes that are coming in on Twitter and stuff, I always feel bad because I want to respond, and I start responding, but by tomorrow, I don't know, actually, there's nobody on Twitter and X anymore as much as before, but you know what I'm saying. Then it takes me like hours. Thank you for the birthday. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So I almost just got to do it once or twice. Thanks to everybody. But no matter how old I get, and older I get, still get goosebumps and chills when you see, you know, the pitcher jump into the arms of the catcher, the crowd going crazy, the family. It's super cool stuff. Hakeem Diwadu joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between. We're throwing it down. Sirius XM Channel 159. Let's step up and in into the octagon, like the man that joins us will right now, as Amin Hakeem Diwadu will take on an original OG in Cub Swanson at the Apex this Saturday in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hakeem steps up and in from the Palace Station. Hakeem, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you guys having me.
So, Hakeem, I've seen some of the videos that you posted in preparation for this fight, man. I got to tell you, bro, you look like straight lean, straight killer type of stuff. You clearly put a ton of work in the gym preparing for this fight. How did training go, and how do you feel right now after putting all this work in?
You know, training went great. I really had a hard camp. I did everything possible. I did all my wrestling, all my jiu-jitsu, all my strength and conditioning, all my MMA, all my kickboxing, all my boxing spar. It was a tough push, but we got it all through. And now it's work time. I'm in great shape. I made sure my nutrition was good. I stayed very low. So, you know, coming into fight week, I only have about, you know, 10 pounds of water weight to cut. So that's it. So, you know, it's everything is coming according to plan, and we're right on schedule.
Now, when I said you look ripped, I was thinking, man, how much percent body fat? Do you check that stuff? How much percent body fat do you have right now? Because I got to say, it wasn't a hell of a lot.
Yeah, so starting the camp, I was at about 7%. Right now, I'm probably at like 5%, you know, so we're real lean right now, very lean Hakeem right now.
You spoke in the past about the herniated disc and the C7, and obviously it was an obstacle for you right now, and it was frustrating, right? It was frustrating at the time. Where are you at with that right now? Is that something that was in the past? I mean, it had you in dark spots, man, thinking about if you even wanted to fight anymore. How's your body holding up after all these years, man? You've been kickboxing, and you've been fighting for a long time. In fight years, you've been around a while.
Yeah, you know, that was definitely scary. That was one of those things where I didn't know if I was going to fight anymore. But luckily, just with pure rehab and a lot of neck strengthening, that's something in the past. That wasn't even a factor this whole fight camp. So I kind of almost forgot about that, you know what I mean? So luckily, I got that all fixed up and I avoided surgery, because that was going to be the next thing, is maybe do what Aljamain Sterling did, but we avoided that, and that's in the past now, and I've just been focusing on being the best martial artist I can.
Well, I tell you what, you reminded me. Aljamain is like freaking ripped right now too, right? I'm sure you saw that. And I was like, damn, man, Akeem's looking like Aljamain is right now. So let me ask you, you fought in overseas, you fought in front of, you know, a couple of drunk fight fans, you fought in front of tens of thousands of people before, and you fought in the Apex. Do you like this? Do you like the fighting in the Apex with when, you know, there's not very many people there? Do you like the rush of the crowd? You've done it all, and you've done it all, you know, in the past recently as well. What do you prefer?
You know, honestly, to be honest, it's all the same to me. I've been fighting for such a long time. I remember when I first started fighting, I was fighting out of community centers, doing smokers in the gym. So it's all the same to me. As long as the pay is the same, as long as I'm getting paid, as long as I'm moving up in the rankings, I'm just happy to be fighting for the best organization in the world and getting my name out there. So it really doesn't matter to me as long as I'm getting the fights I want.
So let me ask you about fighting a guy like Cub Swanson, a true OG. And I imagine sometimes you fight guys that you probably don't like very much, and, you know, for whatever reason. And other times I hear fighters talk about, I remember I was buddy with Sam Stout, and he was fighting Jeremy Stevens. And he told me before the fight, he goes, bro, he's my favorite fighter. He goes, he's literally my favorite fighter. I really, really like the guy, and I think he's a super cool dude. And after he told me after the fight, he goes, you know what? I wasn't even myself, man. It got in my head about how, you know, I actually liked them and all this type of stuff. Do you ever find yourself in that way? Because it's hard not to respect a guy like Cub Swanson, but at the same point in time, respect, not fear, right, when you're a fighter.
Yeah, you know, I definitely respect Cub Swanson, but yeah, just like you said, it's respect, it's not fear. And you know, when it comes fight time, it's going to be all business. And then, you know, maybe after the fight, we can cool it, grab a drink, you know, maybe even train afterwards, you know, pick his brain. But right now, I'm treating him like everybody else. And I'm just here to get the job done, get the finish, get my paycheck, and move up in the ranking.
Now, one thing we've seen with Cub, man, he hasn't changed. Like, he's coming. He wants to, you know, he's looking to end fights. His last four fights, win or lose, have just resulted in chaos. Preparing for this, do you know, do you like fighting a guy that's been around for a while? You basically know what you're stepping into the octagon when you're fighting Cub Swanson, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. I know he has a big right hand, big left hook. So, you know, I respect his power, but I hope he respects mine as well. And I'm going to be out there fighting, pushing the pace and bringing the chaos. So if he's ready, so am I.
Listen, this guy's got 13 fight of the night, performance of the night bonuses. You've had one before. Do you think about that before? Some guys like just want the money, right? They're like, yeah, dude, you know, if I get to 50K, that's great. And if we win, you know, we win or lose, I'm there to entertain. I know it makes your effing blood boil when you lose. Do you know what I mean? So I know that that's not an option for you right there. But Cubs coming out for that, do you know? I guess the question is, do you care about entertaining at all, or is it just, man, I got to win this effing fight, and I don't care about that stuff?
Yeah, you wanna have the mentality win no matter what. But I know if I just perform and use all my skills, it's gonna be entertaining regardless. Just the way I fight, the style I have. So, you know what I mean? I'm not really too concerned about that. I just know as long as I perform the way I need to perform, it's going to be an exciting fight. And just my style alone, I know people are going to love it. And I'm in good shape, so I'm looking to end this fight.
You know what? I can't wait to see this fight. And it's pretty much known, isn't it? And, you know, I'll ask you as the fighter, because we as fans, when I see this stuff, When the cards are on TV, man, when you're on ESPN like this, you're on ABC, etc., I think Dana and the company, they're putting guys on that they know is going to be entertaining. You don't have to handle your own business, but they seem, you know, these fight cards, there's always just fighters with bad intentions. You know what I'm saying? You look at this, you know, I'm expecting there to be a lot of crazy fights, and I think your fight's going to be one of them. Why do you win this fight? What's the difference between you and Cub at this stage of your careers?
I think I'm the stronger fighter. I'm obviously the younger fighter. I'm the bigger fighter. I got the skill. I got the stamina. And I got the will. And there's not one place in this fight I don't see me not winning either. Either me putting him away, either TKO, KO, or submitting him. We're prepared. I trained extremely hard for this. I'm in shape. And I'm going to be having tremendous pressure this fight. So I definitely I think this is going to be my night. And it's going to be my time to shine.
Akeem, before we get you out of here, is there anyone you want to thank, training partners? And let me ask you, actually, who were some of your main guys preparing to mimic what Cub's going to bring to the table?
Yeah, you know, we got my boy Ramil. He's fighting on Unified. We have my boy Nick LeBlanc. He's fighting on Unified. My boy Big Mac, he's fighting on Unified as well. Chad and Halliger, who's in the UFC. We got a nice Russian guy at the gym, nice Ukrainian guy at the gym named Sasha, who's really good. He's straight from Ukraine. He's been a great sparring partner. I've been sparring top-notch boxers like Steve Claggett. My paddle holder, Eric the Guzman, Brian Bird at Champions Creed, my Muay Thai at Mike Miles Muay Thai Kickbox.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Actually, my strength and conditioning coach with Nick Gies. And then, you know, my physical therapy at Momentum Health West Springs, it's been a whole team. Everybody's been coming together and just making sure I'm at 100%.
Well, you know what? That's why I wanted to ask you about that, because there is a team, and it's, you know what I mean? It takes like a community to make a fighter, and you've got a great team and some great people around you, my man. Can't wait to see this fight on ESPN. Akeem, always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big crowd welcome us back, even though we lost.
Hey, I'll give you something to cry about, you loser. You can't catch a football. Let's see if you can catch a rock.
Thanks to Akeem DeWatto for joining us on the program. Looking forward to this fight against Cub Swanson. And shout out to Sooner Lisa, who called in earlier. She's in our chat. And she says, now I want to watch this fight. So we did our job. The UFC would be happy. That's exactly what they want, right? They want fighters to go on shows and then people to say after, I want to watch this person fight. And you can watch him fight for free on Saturday night. UFC on ESPN. Hakeem is a favorite in this fight. He's the younger fighter. Cub is a very dangerous man still. Hakeem is coming off of like a performance that he wasn't happy with. He also had a herniated disc as well that he was coming off of. I think he is a lot healthier. He missed weight in his last fight by a lot. So, you know, if it wasn't 2 days before the fight, I would have asked him more about it. There's certain things I know what not, you know what I mean? You know, like right now, the guy's trying to make weight. So I'm not going to say so. Hey, last fight, hey, it was 4 pounds. I don't want to, you know, get in the guy's head. And, you know, he's been posting pictures and videos daily to sort of let people know, hey, look, at you know, weight cut won't be an issue. Like, I asked him point blank, you know, what's your body percent fat? I didn't ask him that. That has nothing to do with making weight. But like I said, if you see him, you're like, oh, my God. Like, it's basically, so what, he said 5%? 5% body fat right now for Akeem. So thanks to Akeem for joining us. We'll give you all of our picks throughout the week for the card. I said we've got some combat news to get to, and I saw Fedor today was talking about wanting to box. Like, everybody wants to box right now, right? I got to be honest, at this point, with all these old dudes like wanting to box all the time and make money, I'd rather just to watch you fight for real. Like, you know, and I don't even want to watch you fight for real. But you know what I'm saying? This not really real stuff, like, that wasn't real to Diaz the other day. Do you really think he cared that he lost after? You see what a good mood he was in after? He was like, I can't believe I just got paid all this money for this. This is amazing. And, you know, I got punched in the face a few times with thick gloves, and so what? And I just, you know, made a couple of $1 million. So they're not real fights. So Ngannou and Fury is a little bit different in a sense that you're talking about, you know, one of the heavyweight champions in the world, and Francis Ngannou, who was the UFC heavyweight, the mixed martial arts heavyweight champion. Like, they're not past their prime. They're both, this, you know, in the same age group. They're both active. Ngannou, you know, was recently a champion, right? And Fury is a champion. Now, it's not for a belt, but it's not, that's not going to be a pillow fight, that fight. Like, Fury and Ngannou's not, like, Ngannou is going to hit Fury as hard as he freaking can. And Ngannou, and what makes it fascinating is Ngannou is, of course, the Guinness Book of World Record holders for strongest punch on record ever thrown. The dude can throw. But what, if Fury's going to be able to eat his shots, and Ngannou won't be as powerful boxing as he was, like, in MMA throwing. And ironically enough, he would have lost his last fight if he didn't wrestle. So he had to take the guy down, right? But at least, like, I don't think Ngannou has a hope in hell of beating Fury. But at least it's a real fight. It will be a real fight. Like, I believe Ngannou when Ngannou said, I'm trying to knock him out, and we'll see how I do, but I'm going to die on my sword. I actually believe him. He's got nothing to lose, right? So he loses a boxing match, and he goes to PFL, and he makes tens of millions of dollars. So he's got nothing to lose with his boxing match. So Fedor is talking. And listen, Fedor, obviously, some feel the greatest heavyweight of all time. They're a complete stud. Thing is, he's 46 years old. And all those guys that fought in Pride, they're not the same. Like, 46 might as well be 66. Right? Like, dude, you're allowed to soccer kick people in the head in Pride. I remember Heath Herring told me that. And Heath was in Pride before he was in UFC in Japan. And he said, you know, it's the one thing that bothers me the most about the UFC. And I said, what? He goes, you should be allowed to foot stomp and kick someone in the head when they're down. And I never forget, he told me, and he started laughing after, and he goes, I know it sounds crazy, but he told me, he goes, man, I got kicked in the head and stomped on the head like 12 times when I fought Fedor, and look at me, I'm fine. And he sort of, he caught what he said, and he said, well, you know my point. He goes, it's not that, he goes, it looks worse than it is. He goes, it's not as bad as it seems. I'm thinking, I don't know, it's pretty bad, bro, right? Like, it wouldn't be, they wouldn't get a sanction in America if you said, listen, like, listen, I personally think you should be able to knee somebody in the face when they're down on a knee, personally. I don't know about you, Matthias, but that's one thing that bothers me. You know what I mean? Like, when a guy's on two knees, Or one knee, and they do the little go down on the knee thing. It's like, whatever, dude. You know, that's the one. Like, some fighters have been. That's what happened to Peter Yan. Like, I think Peter Yan, that should have been legal what he did. But it is illegal now. But I think it should have been. I should be legal. It's a fight. But the whole thing is, I get it. It's dangerous, and they don't want people eating knees to the face all the time in, like, really vulnerable positions like T-ball, right? But I'm just stating, the Pride guys, they were crazy fighters, but my point is, they also got, like, pretty beat up, right? They got, like, really beat up. Like, crazy things happened to them. Look at all the guys that fought in Pride. Like, they're all older than they are. Like, how old is Shogun Hua? It'll shock you when you find out how old he is. Even me, like, I've covered the guy for 20 years. I thought, yeah, I just figured, I don't know, how old is Shogun? I don't know, 48 or something now? How old is he, for real? Like, look at him. He's like 38 or something. He's not even that old. Like, you know what I mean? He's not that old. It's just, man, the guy was in some serious wars, man. Right? And you see, like, he slowed down. Like, all those guys that were in Pride, like, all of them, they all were, they, every one of them took some sort of severe beating at some point. The fights were long. You could kick people in the face and when they were down. There was all kinds of crazy stuff going on. And they were all juiced up, and they were all drugged up and stuff, right? So it was like Fight Club, like, on, you know, it was like times 10 Thunderdome stuff out there. It was great. But, you know, modern, but America wouldn't be able to handle it, right? They would be like, you imagine, Matthias, on ESPN, someone down and, like, stomping on their face like a street fight. Boom. and the fight, and John, I can't imagine John Anik. Well, the fight's over. He just got his head kicked in while he was down for the count. They would be like, no, we that's too much. But my whole point is, Fedor fought and all that stuff, all right? Now, the thing is, he did most of the destroying, right? He was, like, he was the one, like, kicking the crap out of people and kicking people in the head. But he's been in a lot of fights, and anyone that's watched him knows he's been done for years. So he wants to box on the undercard of Ngannou and Tyson Fury. And he wants to box against Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson is 57, for the record. Fedor is 46. And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to call Fedor a liar. Because, you know, he is one of the most vicious and feared men in the history of the world. Forget about combat sport. Like, those guys don't play around in real life. 46, really? And I just turned 33. Come on. Let's do the math. He's 46, really? How many years ago was he fighting? What, is he fighting when he was 12? Like, you know? I got to believe he's older than 46. I'm not really sure about these Russian birth certificates. But so he says that he wants to box. He's done with MMA, but he says he's watching all this boxing, and these guys box, and he wants to do it. His exact words, and he's not calling Tyson out or anything, right? He's very respectful. And he tells Errol Hawani, MMA is done 100%. I'm not going back to MMA. I want to try myself in boxing. I think it's going to be interesting. After the last fight with Ryan Bader, I took a break. I started lifting weights a little bit, got some muscles back. My injuries are going away. My shoulder feels better a little bit. So I started boxing. I feel pretty good, and I feel pretty confident in boxing. I watched Roy Jones and Mike Tyson box last year. Tyson would be an interesting fight. He's a big name. He's a legend. It would be interesting because, you know, you can see on his videos and YouTube all over the place that he's still in good shape. He still works the pads, and he still has that same power. And he goes, Ariel asked him, what about, you know, being on the undercard of Tyson Fury and Ngannou, because, of course, Mike Tyson is training with Francis Ngannou for this fight. He's going to be in his corner, like, he's his trainer. He's preparing Ngannou for Tyson Fury. Emiliano said, that would be awesome. If it would be possible, I would definitely do it. I will be ready. I always train. There was a camp right now in Russia. I was there. I'm always ready. I heard that Tyson is with Francis Ngannou to prepare for the fight, so he's in good shape, too. Then he says, right now I'm 47. I said 46, my bad. He's 47. But I started boxing when I was 23. Over half my life I've boxed. Everyone knows I'm a wrestler. I was on the national sambo and judo teams. I'm not as good as Mike Tyson, but it would be interesting. He goes on to applaud Jake Paul, but says he's too big to fight Jake Paul. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This team is fired up. We came here to play.
All right.
He'll lose.
What? Didn't you hear what he said?
Look at the fear in his eyes. Listen to the quiver in his voice. He's a little boy lost in a game of men.
You think we should bet against him?
I bet my entire college fund on it.
You got it.
Mo, $23 on New York.
The late night anger man's request. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency. You know, I'm thinking about, like, Tyson and Fedor. Years ago, it would be, like, a super dream. Like, I'd be, like, you know, Mr. T and, Hulk Hogan. What was it? What was his name? Thunder. What was the guy? What was his name in Rocky? You know what I mean? Hulk Hogan versus Sylvester Stallone. Right? Like, the wrestling champion versus the boxing champion or whatever. Like, you know, there's certain things that'd be super cool. And that's what, like, Ngannou and Fury is cool. But I swear, like, if Fedor, and I don't think you need the money, so I think he is a competitor. Tyson doesn't need the money. But if you guys want, I'll give you, like, $100 not to do it. Like, if you're charging $100, I'll chip in. How about I'll chip in $50? You guys have enough. I'll give you $50 not to fight. And I'll encourage others. We'll start a GoFundMe. Here's, like, you know, here's, like, $2 million, guys, not to do this. How's that? So what? You're 57 and 47 now. Combined age of 104. And I get it. As you know, as someone is middle age, you know, it's not like, you know, these guys, I get it. I wouldn't want to get punched in the face by Fedor or Mike Tyson right now. Without a doubt. Yeah, Thunder Lips. Thank you. Thunder Lips. Thunder Lips. I wouldn't want to be punched, but it doesn't mean I want to see them. Right? It's sort of like this past, like, Motley Crue tour. I don't really have a problem with them doing it, and if you want to go pay to watch them, but I saw them on the Shout of the Devil tour. I'm fine with, like, the memories that I have of it. I don't need to see this, you know what I mean? I don't need to see Mike Tyson's 57, bro. Smokes more weed than I do. Like, I get it. Tyson's in good shape. Do we need to see him? Do we need to? For the record, though, and I hate to admit it, I guess I would bet on him. Mike Tyson will beat him. Even at 57, Tyson will beat Fedor because MMA guys can't box. They all say, oh, I can box. Trust me, I can box. No, you can't. Right? You can't box. You can't. So I'm just stating, I don't want to see it. You know, come on, guys. Let's just be real. And I know Fedor was just speaking out loud and stuff, but all kidding aside, though, I don't have a problem with Fedor being on that undercard. Why not? It's in the Middle East, anyways. Fedor's massive in the Middle East. He's big. He is a freaking legend, and he deserves enough respect. And another thing is, he deserves enough respect that he can do whatever he wants to do. Like, point blank, if he puts his hand up and he goes, I want to participate, then you don't say no. I get it. I think he's older than 47 personally. But even he knows. He said, not MMA, boxing. So find him a boxing opponent, put him on the damn undercard of this thing in Saudi Arabia, wherever the hell it is. Is it Saudi Arabia? It is, right, Saudi. I don't want to offend Saudi Arabia or do Abu Dhabi. They both bid so much money on these events. Saudi Arabia, though. I don't need to see it. I love Mike Tyson. You know, great fighter. There's something about it, right? There's something about fighters. They just don't let go. But you know what I mean? You don't see guys that are 57 that played in the NBA saying, man, I'd really like to play in the NBA. It's like, no. You know what I mean? I know some of them need the money. All right, Tyson makes enough. You know, Tyson's in enterprise now. I know he spent all of his money, but he still makes money. And Fedor's made a lot of money over the years. He got paid well. All right? That's one of the reasons why he was never in a rush to go to America. He was like, why? I don't need to. All right? He never needed the UFC. But I don't need to see it. I don't need to see it. And I don't want to see it. As far as I brought it up earlier, there's talk of Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler not fighting, right? Which would kind of be a colossal waste of time. Let's just be real. You can't hype up a TV show. Like, any time that the fighters didn't fight right away, it's because of something, like, dramatic happened. You can't, like, ask people to watch a TV show with the two coaches, because, quite frankly, a lot of people don't care. Some people are different, right? I was reading, like, some people are like, oh, the show is whatever. Connor's mailed it in and doesn't care. So some people I was reading, I was on SureDog. And, you know, some people were saying, I just fast forward to the fights. I just watch the fights part of it. Those are the fight fans. Those are the type of guys that are watching every UFC card and stuff that are doing that. Right? And then you get other people that are only really watching to see Connor talk smack and Chandler, and they want conflict. And they want smack talk, knowing that, well, at the end, there's got to be a payoff. It's like going to a massage parlor and there's no happy ending. It's got to be a payoff. Right? Like, there's, you know what I'm saying? You know, there's got to be something. And you can tell Connor's trying to get out of it for whatever reason. Right? Connor's trying to get out of it. You know, he basically was saying, no one cares about this. And he's, you know, he's moved on the gate. He moves on to whoever fights. Like, you know, if Hakeem wins on Saturday and he's getting, like, people love what he did, like, Connor will, like, get jealous. And, you know, you ever notice Connor only talks? Like I said, Connor's been doing this for years. Connor, like, dramatically will always, oh, he's going to do this or that on Saturday nights after someone else fights. He's like LeBron when Denver won in the sweep. Oh, I might retire. It's like, no, you just... I saw that the other day. LeBron posted a video of him working out. Grind continues. It's like, yeah, bro, like, weren't you talking about retirement? Or was everybody right? And it's funny, he's mad that Coach Malone called him out. He's using his motivation, he says, this year. So you're mad at Coach Malone for being mad at you for trying to steal spotlight from his team when he was said that the same thing that everybody else said. Oh, the Kobe statue is coming finally, too. About time. But it's one of those deals where, you know, you gotta do it right. And the Lakers do everything right all the time. So, you know, we sort of always just sort of gave the Lakers the benefit of the doubt. I'm always baffled every time I'm outside and I see, and you know, I'm like, you know, no offense to Luke Robitaille, but yeah. what are we doing here? Right? You kind of you notice. We'll put it that way. It's very noticeable. That statue row is super cool. A lot of arenas have statues and stuff, but that one you sort of like get caught up in it. It's like, whoa, hey. This is pretty, like, you know what I mean? You're like, wow, yeah, there's Kareem, right? And it's like, it's real and magic and Oscar De La Hoya. But Kobe's statue will be unveiled on August the 8th, 8/8/24. Obviously next August, as it's August 10th right now. So, yeah, next summer, 8/8/24, August 8th. 8th day, 8th month, 24. The year 24. And his daughter will be incorporated. His daughter will be incorporated into the statue as well. Now, here's another story I wanted to get to tonight. You always, if you don't... Where are they now? Or if you're wondering, And I've always thought this, too. Like, when people always talk about, oh, but, you know, winning a Super Bowl, it changes this, it changes that. It doesn't change anything. It's a big game. You win. You get a nice ring for it. And then your life goes on. Case in point, Bashaud Breeland. Remember Bashaud Breeland? NFL cornerback. I actually like Bashaud Breeland. I've spoken to him before. We've had him on the show before. I liked him. Bashaud Breeland, I liked him because he was crazy. Didn't he pick up the referee's flag? The ref threw a flag in the end zone at him. He picked it up and he threw it in the stands. I think he might have punted a football into the stands once. Like, he used to have like an outburst every now and then. And he'd get burnt a lot, right? But then it'd be one of those deals where it's like, man, Bashaud Breeland's getting lit up today. And then, boom, pick six or something. Like, he'd come up with a big play. He was one of those dudes, too, that made big plays in big games. It was like, you know, like, oh, in the Super Bowl, he stepped up and, you know, big game. So, anyways, Bashaud Breeland was arrested in Charlotte, facing several charges. I never call guys out for, well, what are you doing, smoking weed in the car or whatever. You know, I don't like throwing guys under the bus, but he actually accomplished, it's pretty impressive what he did. He's facing several charges, including possession of a stolen vehicle, possession of stolen firearms, and drugs. So, like, not only, like, oh, you know, well, I got caught with a bunch of drugs in a car. So the car was stolen, the guns were stolen. This is a new one. This is like the ball going through the Fenway tonight, through the scoreboard, red light. One in a million, Doc, I'm telling you, one in a million. This is a new one. I've never heard of a player getting arrested. I've heard of a player getting arrested with drugs in the car. I've never heard of a player getting arrested with drugs in a car in a stolen car with stolen firearms. Like, you're three for three. And you're like, all right, what kind of drugs? I don't know, it's Charlotte. Are they mad about a quarter ounce of weed here? What are we talking about? No, the police seized more than 5 pounds of marijuana, 62 grams of mushrooms, drug paraphernalia, in addition to two AK-47s, two AR-15s. He was arrested in a stolen Mercedes-Benz. He was released on a $30,000 bond. After all that, $30K only. It's like, all right, here's your $30K. Won a Super Bowl, of course. Won a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. Played with Washington, Minnesota. He's one of these dudes. It's good, but he's sort of like Eli Apple. You know what I mean? He's ahead of his time. He went to Clemson. A lot of crazy dudes that have come out of Clemson. Last played with the Vikings. He was drafted by the then Redskins / Commanders. That was it. It was Breeland and who was the other? They had a couple other dudes back there. It was quite the cast of characters that they had in that defensive backfield for a couple of years. And he played for Washington, Minnesota, Packers, and the Chiefs, winning a Super Bowl with the Kansas City Chiefs. So that's my point. Whatever. The guy played in the NFL. He played with Patrick Mahomes. He played with Aaron Rodgers. He played in Super Bowls. He was around the NFL. And now he's sitting in a jail cell in Charlotte because he got popped with... I like, you know, so stolen gun, stolen car, 5 pounds of weed. See, if you just have 5 pounds, if it's just the 5 pounds of weed, you can just say, listen, I buy bulk. I buy bulk. It's personal. The two AKs and the two ARs are probably, you know, a little bit of a problem here. And I like the, to me, I just find it great that on top of all of it, the actual car itself was stolen. So I don't know the details of this. So I don't know. Did he rob a drug dealer? Another pick six. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So the Texans and Patriots kick off at 7 o'clock Eastern tomorrow night. Texans are 3.5-point favorites right now. I'm going to take the New England Patriots in this football game. You know, a lot of people are going to talk about D'Amico Ryans wanting to win and stuff. Yeah, they sort of do. They want to win the first regular season game. And a lot of first coaches, you know, they'll win their first game at home in the preseason or whatever. A lot of people are very down on the New England Patriots. They're being picked to finish last in their division. Look, everybody hypes up the Buffalo Bills. Everybody's kissing the New York Jets' ass right now. The Miami Dolphins probably don't get enough. You know, the Dolphins should probably be more hyped than they are even, but I can tell you as a Buffalo Bill fan, I'm aware the Miami Dolphins are a scary and a dangerous football team. So, you know, Belichick is being questioned sort of behind the scenes or sort of like, well, when's he going to retire type of deal, right? And when are we going to move on from this post-Brady stuff? Things haven't been going well for them. So, in other words, and they've had a very competitive camp. It's spirited, the Patriots. Like, people are battling for jobs. They're in a bad mood. Belichick's in a bad mood. And Belichick does care about preseason games. He's a competitor. I'm taking the points with the Patriots. I'm taking the points with the Patriots. You know, the Texans might win this game. Laying 4 points in a preseason game, there has to be like a significant reason for you to want to do it. As we stated, if you like the favorites, just play the money lines. If you like the underdogs, take the points in these preseason games. So Houston and New England, I'm going to take the 3.5 points with the Patriots. The Vikings are getting 3.5 points against the Seattle Seahawks. I'm looking at the under 35 in this football game, but I like the Patriot bet a lot better. The CFL game, there's no way in hell I'm betting on a team that's lost 21 consecutive home games. Give me the Bombers and the over. Other than that, you're on your own. Thanks to our guests. Later.